Ken Timmerman, as I promised, is coming to these microphones to help us understand geopolitical activities that are happening across the world so that we can better understand details behind the headlines. And Ken, let me start with this headline, America. And that's what the poll is saying that is revealing the United States is losing respect in our world. Can you talk to that issue? Are we indeed losing respect? And what would you think the problem is?
The poll that you're referring to was taken of Americans, actually, by the Pew Research Center. So they were looking at American opinions about American power, and they felt, Americans feel, that the United States is losing respect around the world. And interestingly, this is after 5 years of a president who was going to, quote, restore respect by kowtowing to the Muslim world and by leading from behind. And the result of that, I think, is pretty clear, at least in the minds of a majority of Americans, in fact, an overwhelming majority of Americans. You find that people are looking at Al-Qaeda as a threat. Something like 75% of this 1,600-person sample, it's a fairly large sample, view Al-Qaeda as a major threat to the United States. This is after President Obama claimed that he had vanquished Al-Qaeda by killing Osama bin Laden. You also have North Korea's nuclear program, considered a major threat by 68% of these Americans. Again, this is a program that both the Bush administration and the Obama administration claimed that they had vanquished a long time ago. So Americans are kind of waking up to foreign policy threats that have been out there, that have been simmering for a long time. They've been lied to by their leaders, especially over the past 5 years. And now we see that America is weaker as a result of it.
Well, and throughout the world, especially in the Middle East, there seemingly is a less respect for the United States than there has been in years past. But that seems to be because of the fact that President Obama is kowtowing, as I think you use that term, to the Islamic world, i.e., Mr. Obama, the President of the United States, allowing Iran to go nuclear. Now, that's not my statement. That's the statement of two former intelligence chiefs, one in America, one in Israel, and it looks like that is indeed the case.
I know Amos Yadlin fairly well. I've known him over more than a decade, and he's a very level-headed man. He was head of Israeli military intelligence for a number of years in the mid-2000s. As the Iranian nuclear program was gearing up, advancing rapidly, and he was warning against it at every turn. And what he is saying, this was, you know, he and Michael Hayden, the former director of the CIA in the United States, are saying that essentially, look, we have allowed the Iranians to become a nuclear threshold state. It's not just because of this latest nuclear deal. This is something that's been going on gradually over the past 10 years. There was repeated opportunities to stop the Iranians, and those opportunities were not taken. Between 2003 and 2005, for example, the Iranians negotiated a stop to their centrifuge enrichment. In fact, what they really did at the same time was completed facilities that they couldn't complete otherwise, and then they churned ahead twice as fast afterwards. So the Iranians have been very smart in the way they've done this. We have allowed them to get away with it at every single turn. And what these intelligence chiefs are saying, Obama now with his final deal has essentially cemented Iran as a nuclear threshold state. In other words, a nuclear capable state that could break out at virtually any time.
That's going to be a tough legacy for President Obama to live with in the future, in my opinion. Well, let's focus on Egypt. We've been watching what's happening over there for the last year and a half. It's been unbelievable. The Muslim Brotherhood have been declared a terrorist organization by the government in charge in Egypt, but now an announcement. Muslim Brotherhood has gone underground. They're plotting to destabilize Egypt. This does not sound good.
No, and it should come as no surprise. The Muslim Brotherhood made very clear that if they could not win through the ballot box and through politics, they would go underground and win by other means. And they've done this repeatedly in the past. Now they have a much broader organization that they had than they had in Egypt, let's say, 10 years ago under Mubarak. They have had power for virtually 2 years, 1 year with the president, and essentially in another year leading up to that. So they've been able to infiltrate government ministries. And this particular plan that the Egyptian Interior Ministry claims to have found shows the Muslim Brotherhood's plan to spark labor unrest in the public and private sectors in Egypt, and also to spread what they call panic in the street. My guess is this is a reference to terrorist attacks. We've seen them doing this before. This is exactly what they were doing right after Morsi was removed from power this past July. They took to the streets, they distributed weapons to their followers, and they began shooting policemen. And that, of course, caused a pushback from the Egyptian police, and the Muslim Brotherhood attempted to blame all of that bloodshed on the new popular regime. So I expect that something like that is in the works right now, and I give credit to the Interior Ministry in Egypt for exposing it.
Let me get out of the Middle East and focus on the Far East just a moment. Vice President Joe Biden on a journey out in the Far East, in China and other Far Eastern countries. But the headline says, forget trade talks. Biden is out there in Asia to stop war. Think that's a possibility?
Well, I'm not so sure that that's a real immediate possibility, but let's put it this way. The Chinese are definitely rattling their sabers over a group of disputed islands, rocks, really, in the South China Sea that Japan claims, South Korea, I believe, claims, Taiwan claims, and China has now declared a maritime and air defense identification zone around these islands. And this has got everybody in the region very concerned because it essentially amounts to a Chinese annexation. Now, the Chinese accuse the Japanese of having done the same thing in the past, of having annexed these islands. So this has been a simmering dispute, if you wish, Jimmy, for 30, 40, 50 years. And now when the Chinese feel more powerful militarily, they're certainly going to be less likely to back down should there be some kind of clash, let's say, between a Japanese warship and a Chinese warship. And so I think that's one of the things that Biden is trying to cool down while he's there. He's going to be in China. He's going to be in Japan. He wants to try to just calm down the rhetoric and calm down the passions on this. My doubt is nobody's going to listen to him because why should they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think he has a chance to be elected president the next time. Anyway, whatever the case, there's not a whole lot of reason for being able to sit and really take seriously Vice President Biden. Well, a superpower has to be China, of course, the United States, a supposed superpower. And at the time, Vladimir Putin, who's wanting to have Russia become once again a superpower in this world, is being very active in the Middle East. He just went into Saudi Arabia. He met with the intelligence chief there in Saudi Arabia to discuss Syria and Iran. Now, Saudi Arabia is very concerned about both Syria and Iran. Putin is trying to smooth their feathers. I don't know. What's he doing? Is he trying to relate with them to develop them into his little entourage underneath his control in this world?
Well, you know, just as Vice President Biden does not command a great deal of respect when he goes to the Far East, the United States recently has been spurned by probably our most stalwart associate. I won't call them allies, but associate in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia. The Saudis have said that we've lied to them, that President Obama has lied to them. They expected Obama to support the Syrian opposition, which he had promised them he would do. They expected Obama to launch military strikes against President Assad of Syria, which he had promised them to do, and he did not do so. So now you have these talks in Moscow between President Putin and the Saudi intelligence chief. Prince Bandar is more than just the intelligence chief, although he's very powerful in that particular position. He's the son of the former defense minister, who is also the former crown prince. He himself has long been in the arms brokering business and is alleged to have amassed a fortune of many billions of dollars in commissions on arms sales. So he has been the backdoor broker for this $4 billion arms deal between Egypt and Russia that the Saudis are reportedly paying for. And my guess is he's talking to the Russians also about possibly a Saudi weapons purchase as well from Russia. This would be a big black eye for President Obama. Saudi Arabia has been a staunch client of the United States, of the French, of the Brits for 30 years. And to have the Russians get in there and start selling them weapons, I think, is a very bad sign.
Well, that brings us almost full circle in our conversation about the United States losing respect, not only here in America, among Americans, but around the world as well. We have these conversations with Ken Timmerman out of Washington, D.C. He's in Europe right now, by the way, because of the fact he has such knowledge on the geopolitical world scene, and we bring him to these mics to help you and I understand better what is going on. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. Hey, before you get back from Europe, make sure you're warmed up. It's freezing in this part of the world.
Well, I will do that, Jimmy. Thanks for that heads up.